This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and on an extremely chilly morning, I'm here again with Charles Oskey. How nice to see you, Charles. It's been a moment.
It has. Good morning, and welcome back. And it has been. I'm done with winter, but I'm glad we're through it. I'm excited to be here again today. It has been a while.
It has been a while. Thank you. And whilst it is a bright and crisp morning, earlier in the week it was not so. We had some significant storm activity, and that led you to a virtual day, to call a virtual day in the school district, certainly for Buffalo, but KC was also impacted as well. Just dropping in, how do you feel virtual school days are going? Are they fulfilling their objectives?
I still think they're growing, and I can come back to that. We adopted at the beginning of the year a policy about virtual snow days, which had to be related to consecutive days in order to be virtual. And that can be very tricky to say.
Can you describe what you mean by that?
Yeah, so we just can't have a virtual day to have a virtual day. So to have a virtual snow day means that the weather and the storm and gathering information and predicting is there's a potential of more than one day of possibly being out of school. So the monitoring this really started the Friday before this week. Everybody saying this big winter storm coming in, starting looking at that. Obviously Monday it was to a point where we called an admin meeting. We talked about it. And then as I talk with National Weather Service and I talk with a lot of other people, we started potentially planning out. It went from a winter storm to a blizzard within an hour. The next day. So that consecutive days with our board policy allows us to have a virtual day. State rules required that all districts this year have a virtual policy to follow. So we're kind of out of that realm of COVID and being kind of using that. The fact is we're one-to-one to still provide instruction. Doesn't mean that Charles is a snow day hater. It just is. Be realistic, we're still in February and we haven't had our spring storms yet. So there are several school districts around the state that are 4 to 7 days makeup already in June with canceled school or things of that nature. So trying to navigate some of that and still meet the needs of parents. There's a lot of, I know parents have to stay home. There's different things, but there's so many integral pieces of how and why we do this. But safety of kids is number one, how we get buses out. So it's kind of like orchestrating a whole different avenue of things. Building level administrators, you know, putting virtual plans together so that the classified and the certified, do they check in? How often do they check in? What's coming of that? But the attendance ratio, which is something we ask right now, has been really good. It's been higher than 90%. Attendance, so checking in, kids getting things done, and as you monitor that, we're only going to get stronger with that. Is it beneficial? I definitely don't want this to be a checkbox just to say we had school so that we don't have to make it up. I mean, there has to be some educational value with that, but this is new. Just a virtual snow day, are these things really serving that educational piece that we're talking about, or is it just a checkbox?
So how will you measure that? How will you know whether it was the right, whether, you know, the kid at home in front of the Chromebook
this
is actually gonna,
this
got
is gonna
something
be a
out
great
of it.
Year to see where our scores are. I mean, I don't want to be the end of the year say, hey, the Nazi Charles is looking at the scores. But when you start taking a look at some of these things, we're going to look at scores. We're going to get teachers' input on what that looks like and kind of move forward with that. But it is. It's just like anything else we do. So Charles is a data person. So what I've asked is, okay, what's the number of attendance? Were teachers able to come in and teach from the buildings, or did they able to provide instruction from home? Because those variables come into play too. That's another thing I had to throw into account is our local support system said that there was a potential of the internet being down in Northeast Wyoming. So you're going, oh my, did you make the right call? So then that was one of the reasons we did a shortened schedule, virtual schedule, which is new. It was kind of off the cuff. Oh my, if the blizzard really does hit in and they predict power lines to go down or networks to go down in the afternoon, that's not going to be. So, you know, still meeting the needs of the state. But when you bring all this information in, that was what led to a shortened virtual day, knowing that we possibly wouldn't have network up So trying to make some of those decisions, but the final impact of what this looks like is going to be like anything else. Over time, if we come back, we monitor. Did the kids get their assignments done? Were teachers able to make contact with kids? Those are all the things that we'll look at to see whether, hey, this is what we need to do and not do. However, I'm going to come back to that. This has been a different winter than we have dealt with for a long time. I don't want to age myself, but we haven't had this kind of winter since I was a kid in Johnson County. The snow is deep in some areas. We've had drifts. It's been very cold, and I don't like the cold. So getting buses out, whether they're gelling, and then we threw on top of that this year, we had the 1A regional tournament here in Buffalo. So we had teams.
That was basketball, yes.
Basketball. So we had teams traveling in Monday night or Tuesday night because of the fear of not getting here. The state didn't have the option of canceling or prolonging some of these events. You know, we sent our wrestlers down to Casper Monday night because the interstate has been closed so much. If you've seen some of the articles that YDOT actually got plow trucks in front of buses to get them to state events. I mean, this was a year of when do we make it up, not make it up. But however, here's the positive. Our wrestlers were in their virtual from the motel, so they were still trying to still being a part of the classes with what we could provide. Even the regional tournaments, there was a picture that one of our school districts down at the Hampton Inn, they'd set up a room where kids had their Chromebooks out and were virtually engaged back at home. KC, Jake did a great job of making sure his AD came up and the kids were doing virtual from here. So the virtual also comes back to, in situations like this, our kids, it wasn't the same impact as being in person. I want to be very real when I say that, but they didn't miss out. Okay, so you're balancing that in-person instruction or still getting instruction, and that's different with middle school and high school, what that looks like compared to elementary. Obviously, elementary is still going to have a different approach. It might be some hands-on stuff, but a full virtual class looks different in a middle school, high school than it will look in an elementary too. So,
and so in your mind, that's worth that kind of slightly different engagement is worth not having a snow day, which then needs to be made up at the end of the
year. Yeah, and when you look at that from an academic point of view, you're really wrapping up at the end of the year. So right now, between now and state assessment time is the window that you try to cover things. So at the end of the year, you've already covered everything. You've already done the assessment at the end of the year. You can't just add it on because you've already assessed them and you're getting ready for next year. So this window of between now and the end of the year is more critical in the second semester than it is the first semester. First semester, we could bump some of that and say, okay, we'll push that into the second semester. Well, this window between now and the state assessment, there's no makeup day. They didn't say, hey, by the way, Wyoming, because you've had so many snow days, we're going to extend the date so that you can teach in between that, right? So at the end of the year, there is probably a lot more educational loss because at the end of the year, you've already covered what you're supposed to cover. You can start prepping for the next year. But taking that into consideration is, yeah, we can just add a day, but we have to look at what is happening in those days. So there's a lot less loss of opportunity by still getting those kids a little bit engaged now compared to just having it at the end of the year. And if you theoretically look at the end of the year, when you add a snow day, there's a lot higher absentee level than there is with where we're at. So there, I get it. Some people are not happy with the decision. Some people thought it was good, but we did script it out. And what's in the best interest of kids and teachers is always taken into consideration. Because this process for me started at 3:30 in the morning.
I know. And we've talked before about
it gets over about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and it starts over again the next day.
It's relentless and a massive distraction for you. Finally, just before we leave this issue, do you collect feedback from teachers about how it has gone for them a virtual day?
Yeah, I ask the administrators to ask their people, is it good, is it not good, and maybe do a little more detail. And we'll probably even ask the community and the parents at the end of the year. you know, to serve everybody right after that is you're going to get the highs and lows. And then I also look, you got state event, regional events. At the end of the year, how was the virtual process for the community and parents, and what do you want to see happen a little differently? Absolutely.
Well, I look forward to hearing some of the answers to those questions and having an opportunity for everyone to contribute to it as well.
It is. And I need you to hear the amazing and beautiful thing about being in my job, everywhere from the Highway Patrol to Road and Bridge to YDOT to the City of Buffalo to KC. There are so many entities in this community that are making sure that we can keep the schools open or get kids in and out. We had YDOT trucks that would escorted our buses because the wind came up 2 hours before the meteorologist said it was supposed to come up. And it's like, man, you were off by 2 hours. And some people giggle, Charles, it's only 2 hours. Yeah, but we plan around hours, people. And most of it's days. So anyway, a huge shout out to our teachers, but also a huge shout out to all those organizations that helped me make those decisions. So thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us the ups and downs of virtual days and so on. Let's hope that there are no more this school year.
I absolutely agree. I'll rain from here on out.
Okay. My least favorite weather form, I will confess. I know that that's not a popular position to have in agricultural Johnson County. So the legislature is still in session. It's winding up.
Yes.
Just a few more days, really.
Absolutely.
Before they... And you guys all went to Cheyenne. Maybe you could tell us about
that. We did. We had four board members attend. So we had Jan, Lynette, Travis, and Kristen all attended with us, along with Connie, our business manager. And what an amazing experience.
What was the purpose of going?
So the purpose was the School Boards Association has what's called the legislative forum. So part of the School Boards Association is all school board members around the state of Wyoming gather, and the School Boards Association goes over legislation and how the process works. And then you get an opportunity to start creating those relationships with those legislators in reference to bills that impact education. So
and there are a handful of those.
There are a handful
in play. So maybe we can talk about which ones
you
are particularly tuned into from your professional point of view.
Yeah, and so the ECA one I'll talk about here in a little bit. But the overall thing that I want to point out is it was super exciting for our board members to be engaged. Not only did they go down and get to meet with legislators, but they got to be there for the governor proclamation of celebrating school board members around the state. We were there for that signing. We got to see all that. But we had an opportunity to visit with Representative Crago. He took us through the Capitol. We actually got to have a little round table in the Capitol. We got to see some different things. We got to meet legislators. They got to understand the process. Travis had an opportunity to sit in the Senate Ed meeting, and at the very end was questioned by one of the chairmen, and he stood up and represented Johnson County in a way that is just so, I'm so excited. Johnson County and is now again on the map with our board members and how they're engaged, and just what they did down there really is setting the tone, I think, for the future of Johnson County. So that's exciting for me because they want to understand the process so they can make good decisions. So that's super exciting.
So what were the prevalent themes and issues that were being discussed?
Well, I think the big one is the ECA. So where
ECA
we're, so,
is?
And I'm just going to say it's a cost of living adjustment.
Okay.
That's the simplest way to put it out there so everybody knows that. And part of the state required funding is that every year a school will get an ECA or a cost of living adjustment. And that doesn't happen. It just comes and goes as legislation determines, yes, they're going to give it, no, they're not going
to
give it.
So to be clear, that means that if it costs more to do very basic things, like, for example, the cost of putting a school lunch together, it would be cost adjusted for inflation?
Yeah. So like this year they approved. And every year they've pretty much given some type of ECA for the increase in materials and the cost of electricity, but they've never really focused on the personnel piece. That's something they don't do or they do. Well, this year, what the governor signs into the bill is we will get an ECA of 4.25 for certified and a little over 5% for classified. So what does that mean? That means it's one-time money.
Is this what you were hoping for?
So it's exciting. So you have that. So now we have the challenge of saying, okay, how do we pass that on to our employees? which my ultimate goal is that money gets passed directly to employees. It's not put somewhere else. I know we have a budgeting challenge, but however, if legislators have given that money for salaries and benefits, then that's what we're going to give it for. We have a 15 to 20% increase in insurance, but it might come in some form of a bonus or to mitigate some of that insurance.
Is it a one-time payment?
It's a one-time payment. That's where the misperception comes in. So I really hesitate to put this on the base, because then we're locking us in for something that's maybe non-sustainable as we're trying to balance our budget. So I know this district and these employees here, we did the classified, the certified. We did give steps and lanes, the vertical and horizontal, so we didn't freeze last year. But even that ECA doesn't cover that. So finding that balance, but me, my responsibility is take to the board a budget that is sustainable without bringing out the reduction in force. The last thing I want to do is reduce jobs. I want to maintain jobs. And when you have a $21.5 million budget and you have another, you know, $1 or $2 million in federal funds, I'm just going to throw that out there, but probably well over 75% of those funds stay here in this region. And so that's a huge, huge impact on this economy. So we want to be able to keep those things happening here and keep that funding going in that direction. So, but that ECA is not going to come with something probably to the base, because it's non-sustainable, because it's not guaranteed. However, whether it's through a bonus or whether it's reducing insurance or being creative, we actually had our certified salary committee meeting last night. We talked about some of those things. So that is exciting to me, that the state is recognizing that it's important to go back to people. Because the last 2 years, it's like, we are not going to give you anything. All right. So, but this might also be because of the WEA lawsuit that's out there that says you should be giving these. But one of the things in the bill that was really hard to swallow is, and this is another regional cost adjustment, but they were going to sunset the regional cost adjustment in 2 years.
How does the regional cost adjustment work?
The regional cost adjustment is actually in the funding formula. So if we sunset that, that means there was $300,000 or $400,000 on the table in 2 years that wouldn't be part of our funding
model. So are you saying that different counties, different school districts get differing proportions of monies because of where they are?
Because of where their location is.
Okay.
However, the formula is kind of screwed up, just to be real. So in some cases, Sheridan, where the Walmart is, where most of us travel, Sheridan School District has a higher RCA number than we do. Okay, where it's about where you, how the cost to go. So where do you go shopping? Where most of the convenience is at? So in some cases, it's really not a true evaluator of, you know, what it costs to live in Buffalo compared to Sheridan. It's one of those things where, like a Jackson Hole, where, you know what, it's $2,500 to $3,000 a month rent for a simple 1,200 square foot apartment. Those type of things. So that's why their base salary is higher, because they have a higher RCA based on their economy and where they live. Okay. So yes. But again, that's probably a two-day conversation about how the funding model works. But those are the details that, you know, I think Representative Crago does a great job of reading the details, because the headline might actually say, hey, this is something super awesome. But sometimes it's the details in the bottom that have a long-term impact, and I appreciate the fact he reads the details sometimes.
Okay, thank you. And we've been doing, 3-7-8 Radio has been interviewing both Senator Kinski and Representative Crago as our representatives, and we've touched on some of the issues around education too. One thing that I've heard a little bit about is charter schools. Are they a thing? Is that a thing for you? What are your thoughts on that?
So the charter schools are a thing, and it's not just a thing, it's a hot thing, just to be transparent. Mm. And how that pushes through is going to have a big impact with educational funding around the state of Wyoming. I was told, not whether it's official, kind of behind the scenes with all the weather going on, but charter schools, if they're going to move forward, are going to have the same accountability as a public school because it is public funding. So if that did pass or did get amended, then that's going to kind of even the playing ground. So prior to this coming in, some of the things with charter schools were they were on a different playing ground but with the same funding level and those type of things. So I know there was a lot of controversy behind that, but to give an official opinion from this point until I really know what happened this week, after now I can see sunshine and not blizzard material, maybe it's a conversation we can have down the road. But overall, I can honestly say that it still will impact the taxpayers' dollars for education. So charter schools and how those are approached, I'm not against them. It's more about how they are funded and then how that's going to come back to affect us as a public school district. So. Okay.
Thank you. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. What's there to look forward to? We've got a few months, hopefully warmer, more clement ones.
Few months warmer. There's just a lot of things. We're prepping for next year already. Actually, I'm headed right into another meeting to start talking about PD for next year. We adopt our
personal development, professional development.
Yeah,
yes.
Professional development for staff and our master calendars. So we're already planning 1 to 2 years out. So we begin that process. We'll start wrapping up with, recommendations for staff back. Again, what we just talked about, getting ready for the big state assessment. So that's just around the corner. Then in addition, we have all of our state events, and our kids have been participating and doing well. Our swimmers did super awesome. Our indoor track kids are doing well.
We've got some great lady wrestlers Shout out to them.
Going down to them. We have one in the finals tonight and going down to watch those kids. So really it's about the chute has been open, and we are running down the horse track pretty fast right now. Okay. So trying to balance all that. But what you see is a lot of people trying to do what's best for kids, and I always say that. But we don't realize how blessed we are in Wyoming or in Johnson County when you see the things that we do for kids. So sometimes we need to take maybe a bus trip somewhere else to realize that we're very, very fortunate here, and I'm very blessed to be in this community. So.
Well, thank you, Charles. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. I know you're extremely busy. You've obviously got a number of balls and plates spinning continuously. I hope you get some rest with the weather, that the weather lets you off the hook a little bit. And I look forward to next time.
Yeah, no, thank you.